Realized I was starting a series, but it turned into a series. And I've named the series Inner Graces That Sustain Us. Inner Graces That Sustain Us. So 3 weeks ago, we looked at the perfect peace that we're all to possess in our hearts. Then we looked at joy unspeakable and how we're to have the joy of the Lord no matter what the circumstances are. Last week, we saw the importance of having gratitude. We saw there in Psalm 100, the need to be thankful for all things. And so today, the fourth part of our series is contentment. Talking about these inner graces that sustain us, it turns out there's only one passage in the entire Bible that has all four of these, and it's Philippians chapter 4. And what it does is it really brings verse 13 into focus. I know when I teach the preaching class, we harp on context, context, context. And how many Christians quote Philippians 4:13, but are they really taking it in context of the whole passage of Philippians chapter 4? What is the context of Philippians chapter 4? Well, it's primarily, believe it or not, about missions giving, for starters. Paul commending the Philippians for giving to his mission. But after that, it's about these inner graces. And he concludes by saying, I can do all things through Christ. So is he really saying that I can move mountains? And that's how most Christians take it. Or is he saying, I can live the Christian life that I'm commanded to live through Christ? So let's think about that as we look at the passage together. We're going to start in verse 10 today and go down to verse 13 of Philippians chapter 4. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So our title today is simply, Be Content. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We are grateful for the privilege to assemble in the name of our Savior around your precious word. And may you now use it in each of our hearts to speak to us, to change us through its power. May Jesus Christ be magnified. Lord, guide us in your truth and bless every aspect of this service. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, of these inner graces that sustain us, they're only all four found in this chapter. And up in verse 4, we see joy. Most of you know it. We sing it. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. In verse 6, we see the gratitude. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with, what? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And of course, verse 7, most of us know, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We've looked at the peace, we've looked at the joy, we've looked at the gratitude. Today, we look at the need to live a life of contentment. These are things. They don't necessarily have to do with how we interact with others, like many of the graces that God gives. They have more to do with how we get through life, through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul starts off there. Again, the context of the whole chapter is about missions giving. And then he gives that great promise in verse 19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He starts off in verse 1 talking about how they gave to his ministry. And he talks more about it here in verse 10. He says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. And he mentions it as well down in verse 14. He says, notwithstanding, you've well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Verse 16, for even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Verse 18, but I have all and abound. I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Does God want us to participate in missions? Of course He does. Does He want us to care that there are people all around the world that have never heard of Jesus Christ? Yes. And if we're going to be the Christian God wants us to be, He wants us to be generous, of course, and especially generous when it comes to missions. But He also wants us to live the Christian life He's commanded us to live. He left us here for a reason, amen, and that's to make a difference. That is to serve Him. That is to touch others for Jesus Christ. We can't do that if we don't have these things in our lives, if we don't have the peace of God that passes all understanding, if we don't have that joy unspeakable that we talked about, if we aren't living a life of gratitude, but instead we're complaining all the time, we aren't living the life Christ called us to live. But another big part of that here is this matter of contentment. People are so discontented today. They just don't have enough. They don't have what they want. You know, if you watch television, why do they even have ads? They're to make you discontent. Well, I don't have that. I need that. And the devil's been using it against us for 6,000 years. And that's what Paul said there in verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want. He said it's not a matter of want, because Paul didn't live a life of want, did he? I mean, he came from a life of privilege, and now he's spending a lot of time in jail cells, being let down by a basket over city walls. He says, it's not about want for me, because all I want is Jesus. And he says that many times. He says, I count all things but loss. And so Paul had learned this, as he said in verse 11, I've learned this lesson through my own life, that God wants me to be content with whatever comes my way. Now, in our flesh, we're never happy, are we? Let's look at some verses on that. Proverbs 27, verse 20. And God says that the old man, the crucified man, the flesh, is never satisfied. And by the way, the devil knows this, and that's why he uses against us all the time. But notice Proverbs 27:20. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Our Creator wrote that. And He says we're never satisfied. There's never enough. Rich people, they just want more. And then they want more. You just can't have enough. And then in Ecclesiastes 5, we'll see it again if you turn there, verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10. Solomon writing this, and look what he said. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. A person who wants more silver can never get enough silver. The old man is never happy. And Paul said, that's not me. I'm not talking about want here, because I don't want anything but Jesus, especially after he was given a glimpse of heaven. He was that way. But go back to our passage. He uses this important word there in verse 11 of Philippians 4. He says, for I have learned. This matter of contentment is something that we not only learn, verse 11, but in verse 12, something that we're instructed about. And so I ask you this morning, how do we learn contentment? Think about that question. Paul said, I've learned. There's only one way to learn to be content, and that is for God to withhold things, isn't it? If God gave us everything we wanted and everything that we asked for, we wouldn't even know what contentment was, would we? Because every time we wanted something, we would say, God, I want that, and God would give it to us, and we'd just be spoiled children, little brats running around. Paul said, I've learned from my own personal experience. What has he learned? I've learned to be abased. Sitting in the prison with the stocks around my ankles, having the rats running around, I've learned to abound, having the blessings that we all would want in the flesh. He says in verse 12, I've learned to be full. And I've learned to be hungry. Well, you can't learn to be hungry unless you've been hungry. You can't learn to be abased unless you've been abased. And as Paul said, in his own personal ministry, he had been through these things and he had learned to be content. So the next time that God takes something away, you need to stop and think, why did God take this away? Is he trying to be mean? Is he trying to be cruel? Well, God's always good. So he's obviously trying to teach me something. Maybe he's trying to teach us so that we'll learn to be content with in whatsoever state we're in. Because discontentment, let's be real, discontentment is ultimately mistrusting God, isn't it? It's denying that God has perfect wisdom and that God will do what's always best for us. Discontentment is really complaining against God's overall plan for our lives. What we're really saying is all things don't work together for good to them that love God, because this isn't the way it's supposed to be right now in my life. That's what discontentment says. And of course, we see it in Israel in many illustrations. They were constantly discontented with their circumstances. Paul said, I've learned. I've learned, if you will, the hard way to be content. Verse 11, he says, in whatsoever state I am, he says, you're going to experience abasement. You're going to experience being hungry. You're going to experience suffering need. And when you do, you need to learn that God is doing what's best for you. That's not an easy lesson to learn, is it? We see it in our children when we're raising them and they go to the shops and they want that and that and that and that. Most parents don't buy all those things because they know that that'll just spoil the child. And they're learning. Even then they're learning, aren't they? That I can't have everything I want. And after we become Christians, it's true as well. We are going to be abased. We are going to be hungry. We are going to have many trials. David said, Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many. We're going to keep having them. We're going to keep wanting. And God's going to keep teaching us and training us to be the children he wants us to be. A couple of examples. Go to 1 Peter 4 and verse 12. Peter here wrote that we shouldn't be surprised when this happens. Because again, we're learning. We're constantly learning. You think, look at the ministry of Jesus Christ. Most of the things that he did when he was alone with the disciples was to train them. To teach them, to prepare them for when he left so that they could go on and carry out the ministry he called them to. And many of those things were trials. But notice 1 Peter 4 verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Let's be real. Isn't that how we often respond when a big trial comes into our lives? Well, this is strange. Peter says, don't think it strange. He says, but what? Rejoice. Inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings. Don't sit back and say, this is strange. Say, no, God has a purpose in this. God's teaching me something. God's preparing me for something. But the last thing we should ever do is be discontent with our circumstances. While you're in 1 Peter, look at chapter 5, verse 10. The God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. After that you suffered a while. God will what? Perfect us, establish us, and strengthen us. After that you've suffered a while. Does the Bible teach suffering is good for us? Of course it does. We've seen that many times. But in the context of what we're looking at today, Paul says, I have learned. I've learned through personal experience that God often puts me in a place of want, puts me in a place of not having what I want, so that I can learn that he's always good And I can learn to always be content. So back to our passage, Philippians 4, look at verse 12. I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed. Now this is different. First he says, I've learned it through personal experience. Now he says, I'm also instructed. Well, we know where instruction comes from when it comes from God, and that's in His Word. He says, I'm instructed to be content. And so God's not only going to teach us through personal experience by taking things away or withholding things so that we can learn contentment, but He also teaches us in His Word, this passage being one of them, that we are to be content no matter what. Proverbs 15:16, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. And if you would, look at Hebrews 13:5, another one of those verses that Christians often only quote a piece of. And let's be real, how many times have we heard Christians just say, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? Raise your hand if you've ever heard people quote only that part of the verse. Come on, be real. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Yep, the rest of you didn't raise your hand, but you've heard it too. But look at the whole verse. Let your conversation be without covetousness and what? Be what? Content with such things as ye have. We need to start quoting that in context, don't we? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee while you are living a life of contentment, a life not of covetousness. In other words, wanting more, wanting things. Let your conversation, your life, be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That is one complete thought. So we really need to just quit quoting, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, without quoting the first bit. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have. For he has said. You see what happens when you do context? Let's look at another passage, 1 Timothy 6, just to the left of Hebrews a bit. And what Paul is saying is, I've learned it and I've been instructed that no matter what comes into my life or what doesn't come into my life, to be content. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. It's true, isn't it? You can't take your money to heaven. You can't take your house to heaven, your car. The only thing you take to heaven with you is people that you witness to and they get saved. That's it. You take nothing else with you. God even said so in His Word. We take nothing out. That's why Jesus said, lay for your treasures in heaven. But then He says, verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith, what? Content. If you've got food on the table, you've got clothes on your back, be content. That's what God says. So Paul is saying here in this passage, Philippians 4, he says, I've not only learned this by being in prison and being whipped and being depraved of basic things myself, but we're also instructed in God's Word that no matter what comes into our life, we are to be content. Contentment is an inner grace that can get us through. Then, verse 13 comes. Most of you know it by heart. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Beautiful verse, beautiful truth. But is God saying that if I'm discontented, that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me? No, He's not saying that, is He? He's saying that if I'm living the Christian life that I'm commanded to live, if I have this rejoicing in verse 4, how often? Always. If I have this gratitude of verse 6, everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. If I have the peace of God, verse 7, that passes all understanding, where do all these things come from? They come from God Himself, the Holy Spirit. We can't generate these things in our own strength. And if I'm content with whatever God's brought into my life, I can do all things. Because it's Jesus Christ who is strengthening me and making it possible for me to live a life of joy, to live a life of peace and gratitude and contentment. Because I can't do it in my own strength, can I? None of us can. None of us can live this life that we're commanded to live without Jesus. And He said so. Go to John 15, verse 5. He made it very clear. Without Him, we can do nothing. And you can't have a life filled with peace and joy and gratitude and contentment without Jesus. John 15, look at verse 5. I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do what? Nothing. So we can't have the peace of God without Jesus. We can't have joy unspeakable without Jesus. We can't live a life of gratitude and contentment without Jesus. I can do all things through Christ. And where does the strength to do that come from? Which strengtheneth me. God is our strength, and that's not some great mystery. That's in scriptures everywhere, isn't it? But let's look at some verses. Psalms 18 and verse 32. David had learned this himself, that the strength to live the life God wants us to live is not something we just drum up from within. It has to be from the Lord Himself. Psalms 18, look at verse 32. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. David had learned it. Look at Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my strength. Psalm 19, 14. Look at that one. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So there's Old Testament, all of them from David. Now let's look at New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. Remember, it's Paul here talking about how he had learned himself to be content because God had taught him how to be content by making it to where his flesh wanted to be discontented with the circumstances. Well, we all know the story of the thorn in Paul's flesh, don't we? Why would God bring a thorn into someone's life? Well, God explained why. Verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure, 2 Corinthians 12. Through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan that buffeted me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, my what? Grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength, we're talking about strength here, is made perfect in, look at that next word, weakness. Weakness. Paul, you need a thorn. I need you to be weaker in yourself so you can rely on me for your strength. Rather than relying on your own self and your own wisdom, I need you to rely on me for your strength. And I can't get that out of you unless I make it happen myself by bringing some weakness. Now we understand what Paul meant when he said, I've learned. in whatsoever state I am. Even when God gives this messenger of Satan, this thorn in my flesh to buffet me, I have learned. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content, and I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. How many times does God tell us to be strong in the Lord? Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. All through the Bible, we're told to be strong in Him. We're never told to be strong in our own, because we don't have any strength in our own, do we? We're weak. We're wicked. But He is all-powerful. So how much strength is available? Infinite. But only as we're relying on Him. How do we learn to rely on Him more? He teaches us to, doesn't He? Isn't that something? He actually brings situations, circumstances into our life to make us weaker so that we will rely on Him for our strength. And that's what Paul's trying to get across in this passage, isn't it? He said, I myself have been through it. He said, I'm not just sharing with you some principles. He says, I'm sharing with you from my own life what I've been through. And we could go back and we could study Paul being whipped, Paul being shipwrecked, Paul being beaten, Paul being stoned, Paul being in prison. Stop and think about it. Was he not the greatest missionary that ever lived outside of Christ? Then why on earth did God allow him to go through all of that? Why not just put a bubble around him the whole time and protect him? Does God have the power to protect him? Yes, of course he does. Then why does he have to get beaten and stoned and shipwrecked and whipped and put in prison? Why did he have to go through all of that? Because he had some things to learn. Think about that. So the next time God takes something away, rather than throw a temper tantrum, we need to stop and say, what's God trying to teach me? Is he trying to teach me contentment? Is he trying to teach me to rely more on him for my strength, to live for Christ? And I guarantee if that's our perspective, we'll grow much faster. Back, just by way of review, look what he says. Verse 12. I know how to be abased. In other words, I've been there. I know how to abound. I've been there. He says, I know how to be full and I know how to be hungry. And I even know how to suffer need. Paul said, I've been there. I've suffered it all. And I've learned something in whatsoever state I am. If I'm sitting in prison or if I'm sitting in the king's palace, I've learned to be content. Contentment isn't something you're just going to drum up and saying, oh, I need more contentment. No, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The very one who bring circumstances into our life that makes our flesh discontented is also the very one who gives us the strength to be content. Because it's all about teaching and growing us and making us more like Him. So remember that the next time. God is not being cruel like Israel. Oh, He brought us out here to kill us. He brought us out here to kill us of thirst. He brought us out here to kill us of hunger. He brought us out here to kill us with this. Didn't give us enough to eat. Don't have enough to drink. Woe was us. They wouldn't learn. God loved them. God wanted what was best for them, but they wouldn't learn to rely on Him. And the next time God pulls something back, He's saying, this is a lesson. Learn it. And by the way, I live in you and I will give you the strength to learn and to grow and to be content and to have the peace of God and have the joy and have the gratitude that I want you to have. But we, because we're so stubborn, because we're so selfish, We usually have to learn these things, as they say, the hard way. It'd be nice if God could just tap us and say, okay, you've just learned how to be grateful. You've just learned how to be content. It doesn't work that way, does it? We have to learn it the hard way. Paul, he had to have that thorn. And it was obviously pretty bad if he asked God 3 times to take it away. God said, you know what, Paul? You can keep it because you need it. You need it because my strength is made perfect in weakness. And after that, he said, I've learned. Whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you and we pray.